Sean and Tommy are here. Tiki enjoying a nice summer vacation week as the summer of love on WFAN continues. Rosie and Scones with us across the way. We're still awaiting a Yankee lineup to be put out. They play again 4 hours from now. Remember, it's a little after 8 o'clock start that you will hear right here on WFAN as they are in Texas. Max Fried on the bump. A Met lineup is out. Important week for the Mets here versus the Guardians. You don't want to lose basically nip and tuck time here with the Phillies, who play the Orioles this week. Went through that lineup a little while ago. You can go to the Odyssey app, rewind there. About a half an hour ago, Tommy gave his thoughts on the Mets weekend. We have done a lot on the Yankees and accountability, as I understand the whole station has. And I know that could get maybe some tiring if you're a P1 listener to WFAN. You've listened all day. That is the story of the day after the Yankees were swept and the whole Jazz Chisholm situation. We had our thoughts on that to start the show. Go back, Odyssey app, rewind 2 o'clock as we continue on. But this morning, immediately when your phone starts blowing up from multiple people getting texts, you're like, oh no, did something big happen in the sports world? Was there a trade? Was there, a training camp injury? I never thought what multiple texts I got today were all going to be centered around one thing. Mike Francesa and the New York Giants and the San Francisco Giants. Now, you might be just getting in your car, ride home from work, and you've missed this today. So I'm going to set the scene and then play some audio for you, and we'll give some thoughts. 10 years ago, a caller, was it David in Warwick?
It would be Dan in Warwick.
Dan in Warwick, who, by the way, called Sal Licata earlier. More on that in a little bit. Called up in one of the most famous Mike Francesa calls, of which there is, you know, how many? 30 of them that you could go through. And asked Mike, hey, when they're in town, do the San Francisco Giants and New York Giants get dinner together? And it is so ridiculously stupid that sometimes the stupidest things are the funniest things, Tommy.
Sure.
And you can tell it's a call that resonates because it's a call that oftentimes, just in chatter about station memories here, many of us that were behind the scenes for a long time remember and we talk about. So wouldn't you know, at the Eli Manning Show, which airs, I think on MSG, if not just the Giants website, whatever. Eli Manning and Sean O'Hara have, you know, kind of a fun, goofy show. They did a commercial for it. And in the commercial, visually, Eli Manning and Sean O'Hara are sitting there with, who were the two Giants who were there? Was it Webb?
Yeah, Logan Webb and Matt Chapman.
Okay, Logan Webb and Matt Chapman, and they are sitting down having dinner in this palace. But the commercial starts, it's Mike Francesa walking through the hallways looking for open doors, to which he opens the door and finds the San Francisco Giants and New York Giants having dinner together. And then Sean O'Hara basically blows one of those things that like rolls out and makes noises that you would get at New Year's Eve or a birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing visually is hysterical. Here is what it sounded like.
So you guys have to get the part like the
Mike in bewilderment here.
They really do get together.
So that silence.
Oh. Anyway, I was thinking next year we should have a picnic.
We should do a relay race.
Giants, Giants barbecue.
Just Giants barbecue. I don't think you need both of them.
Oh. Yeah, and that last part there is playing off of Mike. Once he realized that the caller was most likely, you know, pulling his leg, Mike would say, oh, yeah, no, they get together for a picnic and a relay race, et cetera. So that was, you know, a throwback there or a callback.
So it's a classic Mike Francesa, what we think is a prank call. More on that again in a second.
Yeah, it reminded me of the commercial, and they still run this one around Christmas time or during Christmas time with the M&Ms with Santa.
Yeah.
He does exist. They do exist. That was Mike when he walked in the room.
You should already, if you're not on Twitter and X, be following the WFAN Twitter page at WFAN660. They tweeted out this video that the Giants have put out as well. First of all, I say this so sincerely. Kudos to Mike Francesa, a guy that we got to, you know, work with behind the scenes. He may not have remembered our names, but we certainly remembered his.
Mm-hmm.
A guy that we grew up listening to and aspired us to get here. But one of Mike Francesa, if you want to say flaws forever, was not really embracing the jokes.
Yeah, not so laughing at yourself.
Not laughing at yourself?
Uh-huh.
That is laughing at yourself to a T.
Oh, without a doubt.
That is embracing a classic moment. Mike made that commercial hysterical. If you see his face, watch it again. Go to the WFAN Twitter page. We have it there. Eli and Sean O'Hara, of course, play into it great. The whole thing. That is to me, chef's kiss. Perfect ad. I loved it. Shout out to Mike. This now led to, again, the guy's name was what? Doug in Warwick?
That would be Dan and Warwick.
Dan and Warwick is the caller who places this call. So you're thinking this whole call gets re-energized. This is Dan and Warwick's time to thrive. People are going to be talking about his call for a long time. So it got talked about this morning, got talked about on the midday.
Right, and not just like when he made that prank call to Mike, it obviously lived here in the canon of WFAN and on the internet. As soon as you get like Eli Manning and the Giants, both Giants involved, it now takes on a much broader scope to where this is going to be seen by way more people than that clip ever did because it's gone beyond viral. So,
and if you were unaware of the clip, now you're going to go, wait, what is this from?
Exactly. So it brings Dan into light, and it's like this 10-year, you know, arc that is paid off by Dan and Warwick got Mike to do something that, at least as far as I know, that he has never done in his entire career, which is poke fun at himself and poke fun at something that happened on his show.
So we
and this is Dan's, you know, his moment.
So we paint that picture to say so many of you play so many awesome phone calls to this station, no matter what show it is. Whether you hate some of us, love some of us, don't carry the way. Your calls have always been a driving force to WFAN for a long time. Now imagine placing a phone call that was so timeless that 10 years later, Eli Manning was involved in a commercial that took another baseball organization to be involved in, and Mike Francesa, since retired from here, involved in. That is how you would think moment forever. Mm-hmm. So enough people get a hold of this Dan and Warwick, and he calls up Sal Licata earlier. I'm not going to put it this way. I am not playing the call. I didn't have Rosie pull the call. Why? The call was so bad's the wrong word, unentertaining, that it shocked me. It shocked me. A caller like Dan and Warwick, you would think off of this, if you were creative enough and clever enough and funny enough to come up with that call, to call Mike Francesa, and now it gets owned 10 years later. He calls into Sally, gets wind. I guess he's since moved or something to Vermont or something, or he was on vacation there.
Yeah, he was in Vermont, according to Hoffman.
According to Pete Hoffman. He called, and he was fine with Sally. He wasn't a bad guy at all, but he was so boring and unentertaining, and he was like, what's this now? Yeah, of course it was a prank call.
I think he said, you caught me at a bad moment here, but meanwhile,
it's your moment.
I know. It doesn't matter if it's a bad moment. This is the only time that you're going to have an opportunity to talk about.
Life's big moments come at you unexpectedly. And if you want to go back, it was around 1:25 Eastern time. You can go on the Odyssey app, rewind. He called in Sal and see what I'm talking about. It gave you nothing. He wasn't necessarily entertained by it.
All right.
I thought he was boring. I got to be honest with you. Dan of Warwick, will you get a pulse from you?
I'll try to defend Dan as best I can here. He was on with Sal, and Sal's like, did you see any of this? It's a huge deal. And Dan's like, no, I'm not on social media. Okay, let's start there. I think sometimes we, because now our moms are on like Facebook, and you think everybody lives on social media, which is not accurate. This is a guy that probably didn't have a feel for what was going on and the gravity in which it was happening, meaning he probably didn't see the video. He doesn't know the Giants. He was just getting this all in real time because Sal was mentioning his name and, you know, his cousin Vinny or whatever texted him and said, you got to call in. The guy's in Vermont. He might as well be in Alaska, Vermont. So my guess is that he didn't have an opportunity to truly digest the moment and what it means and how really, truly big this is. And that's why when he called in, he didn't bring his fastball. It's the only thing I could say. Because his first call to Mike was so great. How come he couldn't follow up with Sal with just the same amount of creativity or energy or whatever?
I have a different take that I'm not ready to commit to, but I'll throw it out there.
Okay.
I kind of walked away from Dan and Warwick's call today thinking 10 years later, it wasn't a prank.
No way.
He said it was a prank on the air today.
Of course it was.
But look.
Look what?
A lot of you listening to WFAN, we've been out there. There are sometimes you take a call and you're like, oof, that was a rough one, right?
Oh, come on.
Maybe Dan 10 years ago was genuinely curious. Well, that's kind of cool. They both have the same team name. They're athletes. Maybe they do get together and talk about playing for the same team name.
Here's why.
And now he realized it was so embarrassing afterwards it got made fun of that he pivoted to, well, people think it's a prank, so I'm going to own it's a prank. To be that, you cannot be that creative and funny to prank Mike Francesa and that boring 10 years later on a call. I'm sorry. It doesn't add up.
Here's why it's a prank. If he had called Evan, if he had called even Summers, although Steve would have fun with it if he, when is this now? You called Mike. Mike's show, it obviously was great, but a big part of it became, especially in the latter years, about the pranks. if you that guy waited 40 minutes just to say that. Meanwhile, the guy was probably on hold for 5 minutes. It became the way Mike reacted to the pranks that were even funnier than the pranks. So for him to call Mike specifically to ask him if the San Francisco Giants went out for tea with the football Giants here, it's clearly a prank. Clearly. There's no shot that anybody out there listening right now, I don't even think even like some of our relatives who have no idea what's going on with sports would think that
I didn't think so either,
just
dude.
Because they have the Giants in their team name, that they would seek out the local Giants to play patty cake.
It's very hard to lose a sense of humor. You were humorous enough to come up with that bit to call Mike.
Was he humorous?
And
or
he
was
couldn't
it
have
Mike's
been the
reaction,
furthest thing
though.
From Don Rickles today on the phone. The guy was a bore.
Is there a chance that wasn't Dan in Warwick? That was another Dan?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. That was my other pivot. With Pete Hoffman controlling those phones, anything's possible. And we've seen Pete fall for some bad ones on Twitter.
Well, I don't think it's Pete. Is it possible that the prank was, I'm going to pretend I am Dan in Warwick because it's getting
well,
all the
Pete
shoots.
Pete said he went through the caller logs. We have this whole system here, not the board, and he could see that the last time he called was a long time ago. Okay.
And it was Dan in Warwick.
Also, if that, the thing that makes me think no, Pete, if you're going to prank,
that's Paul,
pretend,
by the way, Pete's the,
I'm sorry,
guy.
Paul.
Yeah.
If you're going to prank to pretend you're a pranker, I think you bring something to the table.
Correct. Right. That's your moment now.
Yes.
Like his moment. He could have built on the Dan and Warwick, what the Giants did, by creating another moment with Sal, where maybe he got Sal to react in a certain way.
Right.
We would have clipped it. It would have went viral. Plus, when you have a major story like this, where everybody wants to get a little piece of this story, that part of it would be lumped in with this story, dude, and there'd be a headline and a story about it somewhere. You know what I mean? Sal Licata goes crazy on Dan Warwick.
This is the thing everybody's talking about today, is this Giants ad, Eli Manning
it's the
ad.
Talk of the internet.
It is the talk of the internet. And we got the actual guy who placed the original prank call, the call into Sal Licata. And that call he delivered, I'm sorry, that is the equivalent of Aaron Rodgers' Achilles injury after four snaps. The anticipation, the buildup, the excitement. Here he is. That's what we got?
I can only hope that he gets another chance when the New York Rangers try to do this with the Texas Rangers.
Well, they better not do
that. Which was the back end of the phone call.
The only problem with that is that, did he mention the Rangers at the back end of his original call?
Mike did.
All right, so there's a path.
We're done now. We did the Giants thing. You're done.
The kinship with Henrik Lundqvist and Yu Darvish.
I know what you're trying to do there. Yu Darvish also is a Padre now.
Now, is there a possibility? I give it like a 1% chance that this is a different Dan in Warwick.
No, because he said it was a prank. Like, he acknowledged that he placed the ball.
I know that, but maybe he was, I don't know. I go back to what I said. He doesn't understand what is happening on the internet, so he probably just figured, they did a video of me. This is some phone call I made to Mike, you know, 10 years ago.
And they're making a video of you. I don't know.
But he did. But I didn't hear the whole thing. I was in the newsroom. It didn't sound very entertaining.
Look,
there was like pregnant pauses.
The friends that texted Dan and Warwick, take him out. Get him lively again because the guy's boring. I'm sorry. Shane and Rutherford. Shane, 888-808-1019. What's up, man?
Yeah, that was 100%.
Hopefully TV got that. Dump that on TV. Because my mom's watching and I say that word enough, she doesn't want to hear that word. My point, Shane-O, is that when I've noticed this, because I've had to do some digging, are you on social media?
Yes, I am.
Okay. These Twitter accounts that are often like parody accounts that are funny, the guys and gals running them are the least funniest people on the planet when you talk to them. They are stiffs. They're just funny in the way that they can tweet things, but when you talk to them and their personalities, they're not funny at all. Because otherwise they would not be tweeting they would actually just be on the radio or in media, and they wouldn't just create an account to be funny. Make sense?
Okay. All right.
No, it makes sense. Yeah, it makes sense.
Okay, and what else you got, Shane?
All right, so the one thing I wanted to say first is that the banter between you two, very natural, very entertaining. No offense at all to anybody else. BT, I respect him a lot, but you guys can probably go on it. The 10 a.m. spot.
Well, yeah, we don't have to say anything about other shows, but we appreciate that. If you want to say get rid of Evan and Tiki, that's fine. But we don't have to go. I'm teasing.
No, they're great.
Yeah.
The other thing, I work for work. I deal with a lot of people out of state. I deal with many different types of fans. I'm telling you right now, Sean is 1,000,000,000% spot on about the Giants take. I'm a Giants and Mets fan. Giants fans, I guarantee you, were the least amount of people in that stadium.
Thank
and I don't
you.
Like wrestling. I don't watch
Come on.
It. I'm
Thank
telling
you, Shane. Thank
That's not,
you.
There's no basis for that opinion. Yeah. There isn't any.
So just to update the new audience on the opinion.
Okay.
Russell Wilson was booed at SummerSlam at MetLife Stadium. Not overwhelming, but enough that a couple websites picked that up and put it out there. And my opinion is that the majority, not everybody, because there's outliers in every fan base, of Giants fans that are adults, New York Giants fans, that is, tend to be more, not like uppity, but just kind of mature. They're into sports. The Jet and Cowboy fans in New York that are adults tend to be the 45-year-old single people going to wrestling events. I'm not going to say the word. There's, you know.
Well, what about our coworker?
More troubled people, I guess.
What about our coworker, Al Peel?
You consider him normal, and I like Al.
I like Al a lot. I don't know his marital status or his girlfriend. I don't know what he's got going on there. But he was there, and I think Al's in his 40s now.
And he's a Commander fan.
Okay, so are you taking a shot at Al now? I mean, that's what it sounds like. You want to clump him into this as well?
I think Al is more like you and Evan, yeah.
What does more like me and Evan even mean? What does that mean? I can't help but hear the condescending
I think
tone
it would
here.
I think it would be tough for a guy like you to interview for another job outside of radio.
What the heck are you? You got some nerve on you. I am the most, if maybe not of anybody here, the most well-adjusted to work in another business. Like, I've met people.
What other skills do you have in life?
Plenty. I bring laughter
Name
to
one.
People. I have no idea. But I could have probably been a lawyer. I probably could have been a school teacher. There are several things I could have done. There are three people that come to my mind in this business.
You could have been a lawyer, by the way?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? You couldn't be a lawyer.
I would have been a terrific lawyer.
On the prosecution or defensive side?
Vinny Bag of Donuts. Both. I would have been a switch hitter. I would have done, because can't you do both? I don't know. My point is this. This is the punchline here. There's three people I've met in this business that I have no idea what they would have done if this medium did not exist. You.
Oh, I know what I would have done.
Hopefully. Evan.
Yeah.
And our mutual dear friend, John Jastrzemski. I love JJ to death.
JJ, not a Giant fan. JJ does strike you as somebody who would be at a wrestling event as an adult.
John is great what he does. He's legitimately a space cadet. I don't know how the heck he gets from...
Evan,
and now 40 people are... He's probably his sister.
But at least Evan owns this. Evan would agree with what I'm saying. But there's something off about Evan. That's fine.
No, what do you mean something's off? But why am I being clumped into him? There's nothing off here. There's absolutely nothing off going on here. I happen to like wrestling. I would go to a wrestling event at 40 years old with no children, just like I would go to Disney World with no kids. And I have that right as an American. And I have that right as an adult. But this idea that you're clumping Jet fan, you're basically saying that Giant fans, and I'm one of them, I'm a Giant fan, meaning, are all normal and are all mature, and they would never go to in a wrestling event.
Didn't say never, but come on, Tommy. The guy knows what I'm talking about. There's something different about the Giant fan base, and if you want to call it less fun, maybe the Giant fan base is less fun at times. Remember, who was the fan base throwing beads at people walking out of football games? It wasn't the Giant fans. Those are the wrestling fans.
I can't help but think this is another ploy for you to take an attack.
I'm not
on
I'm
Jet
not.
Fans.
I didn't say they were bad people. That's just
no,
the kind
but
of people
you're, you're. But the kind of, what does that mean though? The kind of people they are. What is it? What is
mature,
wrestling?
Mature adults
what
without kids. First thought
have
is
to
in,
do with
let
wrestling.
Me go to MetLife Stadium to watch wrestling. That's pre-scripted.
What does it have to do with it?
It's a collective mindset.
I don't understand where the maturity comes into play. Like meaning, like
better things to do.
Better what?
And it's just Jets fans who are immature.
Not all Jets fans.
No, he means Commander fans, Cowboy fans, Eagle fans. Throw Chief fans in there if you want.
No,
this
Raider
is a
fans.
Little Giants insecurity right now. That's all this is Giants insecurity.
Or he's trying to... See, Sean is fully in the camp of Russell Wilson, and I think that he doesn't like the fact that he got a smattering of boos, so he's trying to justify
I'm just
that.
Showing you why he was booed.
And the way he is justifying that is putting down the Jet fan. By putting down the wrestling fan, by most importantly, putting me down.
Look, I think anytime you need to spell your team name to get the crowd up, usually a telltale sign. Well, you probably like wrestling,
with.
Too.
That I would agree with.
888-808-1019. Greg in Orange. Greg, what's up?
Not a great look. Go ahead.
Hey, gentlemen. Thank you for taking the call, man. I really appreciate you guys.
You got it.
I tuned in a little... Yeah, thank you. I tuned in a little while ago, and I was hearing Tommy talk about a Juan Soto optimist, kind of, for lack of a better term. Tommy, I'm wondering, why do you think that Juan Soto is going to turn it on and with runners in scoring position? Like, where is that rooted in?
It's rooted in his career, that he has done it at an exceptional level. This is a guy that has been on the biggest of stages and has gotten enormous hits. That's why. Couple that with his ability, I have no doubt whatsoever that Juan Soto will hit with runners in scoring position at a clip that will more than justify his contract. More than justify it, because I know what he has, and I've seen it on the biggest of stages in multiple stops. He did it with Washington, he did it with the Yankees, and he will do it with the Mets.
We come back. More of your calls. 888-808-1019. Plus a burning question: to play or not to play in the preseason? And I think I have a definitive answer when it comes to one of the New York football locals. And Carlos Mendoza's met the media before their game tonight with the Guardians, and he is saying that the Mets are considering using an opener in front of Frankie Montas Saturday versus the Milwaukee Brewers. Now, Tommy, this is maybe where Evan comes into play. Consider me old-fashioned. If you're pitching Frankie Montas anyway, what exactly does using an opener for an inning or two accomplish? You're just using the bullpen in reverse. Get him through the first two turns in the rotation, in the lineup, and call it a day.
I'm not sure why you would do that, although I have thought about that a little bit with Holmes, is maybe having a guy open for him, and then he pitches the next five innings, so then you get to the sixth or seventh.
It just feels like a massive overthink. No matter what, you go into the bullpen, you're just using them in a different way.
Yeah, that I'm a little perplexed by. I got to be honest with you. I don't know why you wouldn't just start him. That might be an in-the-weeds thing, which I normally don't get that deep into. I have no idea why you would do that.
Yeah.
I don't understand what you're trying to accomplish.
Plus, if you have a pitching lab, shouldn't that take care of it?
Shouldn't there
be no problems with Montas with that pitching lab?
Well, I would say that the pitching lab is not always going to be perfect, but I still stand by the lab and the mentality that David Stearns has. I don't like giving big contracts to pitchers over the course of a ton of years because starting pitching gets hurt. It worked out with a Severino or a Quintana or a Manaea. And if it doesn't ultimately end up working out with Montas, it doesn't mean you ditch the mentality. It doesn't mean that the lab is broken, because look at Griffin Canning. Griffin Canning came in and everyone's like, this guy stinks. And he was having a terrific season before he got hurt. So it's not perfect, but I think overall it is the right strategy to have.
888-808-1019. I'll get to my preseason take in just a bit. Chris in Manhattan. Chris, you've been holding on. What's up, man?
Hey, guys. I want to confess, you had a previous caller, Chris.
Yeah,
and I started talking for 7 seconds and realized you weren't talking to me.
We've all been there. We've all been there, Chris.
Yeah, I was like, I don't hear the little button. Anyway, so, hey, guys, good to speak to you. I want to talk to you about the Mets a little. So, look, you know, I'm a big David Stearns fan. He's made many stellar moves. Clearly, the Montas move didn't work. And Ryan Stanek, this guy, they got to get rid of this guy. I mean, he is an absolute – no, listen – I mean, Jazz should have hired him for the home run derby. I mean, this guy throws 100 miles an hour. There's no movement. There's nothing on those pitches. They got to get rid of this guy. And Tommy, I think they brought up Hamill, right? Didn't they bring up
one today? Yeah. I wouldn't give up on Stanek. He's pitched in big games before. We know that. And he's not going to necessarily always be in the highest of leverage situations anymore with the additions of Helsley and Rogers. It's not like when you just had Stanek and Diaz at the back end of the bullpen. You no longer have to rely on Stanek for those late innings. And I think he can be useful because of his experience in October.
Lou in Astoria. Lou, what's up?
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up?
Good show, man. No analytics, no computer. You guys are doing it by common sense. I like that.
Thanks,
that's the way it should be. You know, I mean, I like Evans, but, you know, sometimes you get too crazy with his analytics. He has everything there in front of him. and he tells you something that you never heard before, but it's okay.
Well, is this, anyway, Lou, this is your way of saying Evan does a lot more prep and research for the show, and me and Sean just kind of show up and
yeah,
start
but
talking.
It gets kind of ridiculous because we're talking about analytic, and I'm not a type of guy that like that. I like
well, baseball uses them, and you want to be informative. I'm not going to crush Evan for that.
And it helps. You know, I can understand that. Now, I got a quick point on the Yankees and the wrestling, if you let me do it. The problem with the Yankees right now, Sean, and you're a Yankee fan, and if you're watching the same game as I do, when it's good pitching, starting pitcher against us, the first six inning, we only get one or two hits, and then after this, and those guys are done, then it comes to bullpen, and we come to batting practice, and we hit those shots like Jazz did the other last night.
Grisham's had a couple of those late, yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, when we had a chance to get that guy, Stephen Kwan, okay, when was the last time we have a legit leadoff man, okay?
Yeah. I think the last week and a half is vastly overrated Stephen Kwan in the baseball community, but I do understand. He's a useful player.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? Even Luis Arraez, a few years ago, he was available, but we don't believe in contact hitter, patient hitter. We only want to do the launch angles. I mean, then I got a third baseman that leads the league in strikeouts. He got 16 homers with all in Colorado, okay?
I mean, Lou, if your point is the Yankees are flawed, we know that. But the roster's here. How do they battle past that?
Listen, what I'm trying to say is right now you need an overhaul. The GM got to go. The manager, unfortunately, is not his fault because he's playing with the people that he's been giving to.
No, Lou, thank you. I love you, Lou. We know. That nothing is changing. The team is going to go to the playoffs, probably is one of these wild cards. Maybe they do sneak up on Toronto now and win the division. This is now becoming the equivalent of if George was alive. If Brian Cashman's got to go, it's not happening.
Nope.
And he just went all in at the deadline. We all, even as Yankee fans who didn't like him, gave him credit for Thursday. We didn't expect them to respond like that, like they forgot how to play baseball again Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They did. And newsflash, the way baseball's gone this year, just like that Mariners series, I expect the Yankees to have a good week here. Versus Texas.
Yeah, this feels...
Also, hold on. I do like the fact that he bashed Evan for the analytics, and basically every baseball point he had was statistically driven.
Right, and I still took that as we didn't do a lot of research before the show. But I'm also not a big statistic guy. You know what I mean? Like, I acknowledge that they exist, but I don't always like to come with them because I feel like the average person, you know what I mean, is not... Like, you're sitting there at the bar, like Sean has a bar... Yeah. At his, out in his backyard.
Uh-huh.
And when your neighbors come over, they don't go, this guy's hitting .230 with runners in scoring position outs. It's this bum stinks. Get rid of him. So
exactly.
I feel like we're doing it to our audience when we just throw out a million stats. It's kind of going over their heads. That's number one.
And you really did my neighbor's Dave's voice well there, huh?
That's what I was thinking of. I couldn't think of the fella's name. Dave, nice guy. Always comes gun show, 80s for the ladies. You know, he comes over to see, he's... Dance a little longer, you know what I mean?
Dave, 12 Budweisers a day, keeps the doctor away.
I guess so. You need a wheelbarrow to get that guy out of there. He's there all night. Where was I going with this? We're not a statistical thing. Help me out here. Line, please. Where were we headed there?
Where we were going is Al Cintron is joining us now, who is called.
Okay, now, before we get to Al here, who is obviously everyone's favorite, Theo, and I am a
He's
Theo
called
now,
in.
You know. Al, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
So, here's the setup. Your buddy, Sean Marash, took it on himself to spin the fact that Russell Wilson got booed at MetLife Stadium. So his take here is people like me, people like you, that are in their 40s, are immature, and we are the type of people that would go to a wrestling event because we have no life skills. We have, even though I'm married, I don't know what your situation is, but... We have no ability to find women or whatever, and we have no maturity and the reason and nothing better to do. And that's why we are at this wrestling event. There were no Giant fans there, so these boos
Not
were coming.
None. I'm just saying none.
You made it seem like this was a covert counter strike from Jet fans and Commander fans and Eagle fans to boo Russell Wilson. So that's kind of the setup, Al.
All right, so let me set this straight. I purposely wore the Jaden Daniels jersey because I wanted to troll Giant fans at Met Dump Life Stadium. So I did it. And there were a lot of Giant fans there with Giant jerseys on trying to talk, you know what, say my team overachieved and blah, 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 blah. So, Sean, you're wrong. There's a lot of loser Giant fans there. I'll tell you that right now.
But the majority of Giant fans are not wrestling fans the way some of you other losers
That's not based in any
fact. Do you know every single Giant fan in your in this world?
My point. I know the majority of them, and they're not wrestling fans.
A lot of Giant fans there. A lot. Giant jerseys, SummerSlam colored Giant jerseys. There was a lot of them there. Even trying to say, hey, should we trade for Terry McLaurin? And I said, no, he actually wants to win. He's not coming to the Giants.
All right.
So this is what was going on. And I heard you say that you know what these people are. You didn't want to say the word. I know what you wanted to say. It's a male soap opera, Sean. The same way you sit home and you watch your TV shows that are fake as you know what.
Yep.
It's a male soap opera. So for 3 hours, 2 hours,
it's
3 hours.
It's a male soap opera for teenagers, Al.
No, it's a spectacle. I love the spectacle. 80,000, 90,000. I love going to huge events. So I went Sunday night. Carlos came with me. I guess he's a loser as well. All right. And there was a lot of Giant fans there, so that argument is wrong. What I'm saying is you like what you like. You know what I'm saying?
If that
makes you happy for 3 hours, you like it. Does it make you a loser?
Couldn't like it, though, Al. But, you would agree the Giant fan base is more sophisticated.
Losers. Well, forget insinuating. He flat out just called wrestling fans losers.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, that's not accurate.
I'll say this. The part I would kind of agree is there's a lot of trailer park trash there. Like, I can admit that. I can admit that, but that doesn't mean everyone's a loser, Sean. Come on now.
I didn't say everyone's a loser.
Got to live with the fact that Russell Wilson got booed. That's it. The idea that
Wilson.
Right.
And whatever jersey he wears, no one likes him.
Of course.
I like him.
And instead of just living with that fact, you have decided to attack all fans that don't root for the Giants, and you make this statement that is not based in fact, which is that Giant fans are more mature and have better things to do on a Sunday. Let me tell you this about this, and I'm saying this as a Giant fan. What you saw this weekend at MetLife Stadium was a hell of a lot more entertaining than anything the Giants have put out over the last couple of years, basically the last decade. Let me just tell you that. Let's just be fair here.
Sure. Okay, great.
Since 2013, you're 100% right, Bob. Right. Since 2013.
Al, your team has one good year in the last 30 years. Yeah, I mean, you're flat.
No, but they also have... Now, here, Al, he's got at me defending the Commanders, which I don't really feel like doing.
Can Jane Daniels play a second year?
Oh, stop it, Sean. Tell you what. I could have Daniels and you could have the field.
I got to get to the calls, but I just... plug your show. When are you on again?
I'm on Saturday night, 9 to 1 a.m., 888-808-1019. Wake your asses up.
I love that. So listen to Al on Saturday night. And Al, how fat has Deebo Samuel gotten?
I don't care as long as we win games. I don't care if he's 455 pounds. I really don't give a rat's ass.
Well, there you have. Al, we love you. Take care, bud.
Thank you, Sean.
Take care.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Tommy.
All right, see you, Al. Let's go, Mets.
All right, later.
Al, again, missed the golden part. Not everybody at SummerSlam is a loser. I get it. It's a big event. I get want to go to the big event. My point is Giants fans, overwhelmingly, they've been called the wine and cheese crowd for so long. You could take that as an insult. They are more, they're just not the kind to pump their chest out at 40 years old with their bros and go watch wrestling. They check out of wrestling in high school. That's the overwhelming Giants fan base.
Fans, your word's not mine. Pick their nose, eat their boogers, keeper.
Yeah. I think Jet fans are a lot of fun, but there are a lot of Jet fans, let's be honest, they get lost in life at 40. I mean, that's just
The kind of fan base. So what if it's a Jet?
Scones, you're a Giant fan. Help me out here. Come on.
I mean, help you out in what regard? I'm in the position, I am a Giant fan. I don't particularly care for wrestling.
Thank you.
Okay, but I'm not going to go. If people like it,
I'm
not going to go out of my way to call people that go there losers. I'm not doing that. Like, if you like it, it's not for me. It's not particularly for me. But if that's what you want and that fits your fancy, then be my guest. That's not something I'm going to be into. I'll tell you that right now.
Exactly.
And I am a Giant fan. I just so happen to be a Giant fan and not into wrestling. There you go.
It's rarity. It's rare.
What if you're a Jet Yankee fan?
Who brought the Yankees into the equation?
Well, because you're making it a football thing because you're trying to single out a fan base. What if you happen to be a Jet fan and a Yankee fan? Are you the loser that you speak of?
I never really.
So you're calling Yankee fans losers now?
Because Yankee fans are kind of. This is a couple of the Jet fans are more into the party scene than Giant fans are, and Yankee fans are more into the party scene than Met fans are, which is ironic when you think about the two fan bases splitting. And if you want to call wrestling a party, maybe that's what I'm saying too. It's a bunch of guys who never grew up.
I think Tommy can agree with me on this, though. See, he's a wrestling fan, that when you go to these events, these are creatures that are going to these events. I mean, they're creatures. And you walk in there and you're going, whoa. Scones. You know what I'm saying?
And think about who represented our station there this weekend.
Okay, go through it.
Evan Roberts.
Creature.
Well, Tommy didn't, but if he could have, he would have.
I don't put Tommy in the creature category.
Al Cintron.
I don't put him in the creature category.
He's a creature.
No, Evan's a creature.
Sal was there. Sal a creature.
Sal and Pete Hoffman there together.
Now we know his wife is hard to
Sal,
please, but not a
borderline creature, half creature.
Okay.
Wow.
I mean, there you
what
have
about
it.
Chris McMonagle, Big Mac? You know, he's the reason, you know, why Big I put Mac's listening today.
The reason why I put Alf in that category, he likes that, like, oh, he's into all the horror movies and death metal.
He's a weirdo.
You know? Exactly.
He's a weirdo. He's a coworker of ours. You're calling him a friggin' weirdo?
Like, who said, like, this idea that you can't be a nice guy
and
if somebody wants to be
and
around?
And who died and made you the king around here that you are going to divvy out who's weird and who's not weird? You know, I love you to death. But you worked. You basically worked at Subway. You somehow figured out a way to wamboozle yourself into this building here, and now you think that you're the Mr. Cool, that you're driving around in your blue Chevy here with a varsity jacket on. Come on. Are you cool based on any kind of metrics?
I'm normal.
Oh, you're not normal. You rewatch football games from 30 years ago. That's not normal. You're not normal. I'm sorry.
I'm normal. I do normal things. I live a normal social life.
There's two normal people that work at this radio station.
Evan Hofschall,
Tiki Barber, and Boomer Esiason. That's it.
It's tough to be normal when you do this for a
living. Yeah, Tiki and Boomer are normal. Everyone else are not normal. None of them.
Mainly because
people walk around this place?
Mainly because you watch sports for a living. That's not like a real job.
Rose, I agree with you. It's one of the hardest things I struggle with in this career is that I'm so normal, surrounded by a bunch of people.
I can't put two New York icon football players in the category of normal.
No.
Then that's not normal.
Meaning because of their status
of their stature and their life. Yeah, that's not normal.
But you meaning like, I don't think either one of them are quirky or have like odd habits, at least as far as I know.
Right,
maybe they do.
Yeah. All right,
you know
what
I mean?
Yes.
You go out, you have a beer with them, you play golf, and like they're. And that, I'm not saying that other people here aren't totally like that, but I think in order to. Because they're in the profession, obviously, they played sports, the whole deal. What do you make a face? We're on the radio. You make a face. Nobody knows what you're doing. So if you're going to say it.
I'm just saying it. There are normal people.
Hold on, because I have to yell at Paul now. I understand we're on SNY right now, but the majority of our audience is listening on the radio. We're a radio station, and when you just make faces, nobody knows that you're making a face. So for the people watching on SNY, they saw the face. For those listening, our primary audience on WFN, you made a face there. You somehow think that you are cool and normal. Sean Marash.
I don't think I know.
Okay. I disagree with you. I think that everybody here has got a little bit of a screw missing. I think you need to in order to flourish in this business. And you have singled out wrestling because you don't like wrestling. Oh, wait till Dave Matthews comes back. Then you'll say everyone that goes there has a hacky sack and they're smoking the ganj, you know, before they get in there, which may or may not be accurate. You
the
know,
shoe
big,
fits.
I'm a big Dave Matthews fan too. But I don't like that you just sort of. Now, to Scones' point before. And we'll get back to the sports here in just 1 second. Are some of the people that go to wrestling events probably searching and hard search to find a date and they can't?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fair. But you could say the same thing at a sporting event, too, or any event.
Loogie, people are taking the time to get oaked egg and draw up signs with phrases and showing up and sitting in traffic.
Your ace of your staff has a sign that he allegedly brought to a Yankee game a million years ago.
As a kid.
Okay.
We all know. And it doesn't mean they're not nice people. I'm sure most wrestling fans would understand. Sometimes the screw has to be loose. John and Bayonne. John, what's up?
Guys, I tell you, you're cracking me up today with this wrestling. But, you know, Schwartz, he put it on like it was a boxing match, like a championship boxing match.
What's this now?
And he put it on the overnight. What? Yes, Schwartz, whatever his name is.
Peter Schwartz put out wrestling updates in his update last night?
Yeah,
this isn't going to help. I wish you didn't say that, John. You made the point.
And John, I love Schwartzy. I've known him for a long time.
You think you're helping, but you're hurting the cause.
That reeks of Schwartz getting tickets for the SummerSlam and filling it.
You just hit it on the head. They said that in the morning. You probably got free tickets.
I missed that this morning.
This was discussed by Boomer and Gio.
I didn't know that.
Said the same thing.
See, normal people think alike. There you go, John. What else you got?
All right, now, we got to put this Volpe thing to rest because, you know what, though? He does have 60 RBIs. He does have 17 home runs. Going down to the minors is more about hitting the ball than throwing the ball, catching a ball. You could do that in the big leagues up in the major leagues. Is it a hiccup thing? It's like Chuck Knoblauch. but he is producing, okay? So let's put it to rest. Maybe he's got to have a meatball palm sub or a sauces of pepper sub.
Leave it to the caller from Jersey to back Volpe. Look, Volpe's been hot and been clutch lately with the bat. He's right. I disagree with him. Going to the minors, you're hitting worse pitching than you're hitting the majors. It's about getting the fundamentals right. There was something wrong yips-wise. Now, he's basically gone a whole weekend without making an egregious play at shortstop. So we'll take that in a step in the right direction. Let's see it go a whole week here. The ship has probably already sailed.
Mm-hmm.
If Volpe made an error tonight, a bad one, though. A bad one. And King Aaron Judge is coming back, and the Yankees do another roster move and not send Volpe down for a reset, there could be a fan revolt.
Yeah.
He's got to have a clean night tonight.
To John's point, I think Volpe needs to get sent down, not a bowl of pasta fagioli, to get the defense going.
Has there ever been a more Jersey answer than a Jersey guy struggling for the Yankees? Oh, all the guy needs is a little Parmesan. He'll be fielding the ball, no problem.
Where do you go? I'm more of a meatball, if we're going like hero-wise, or chicken parm. I'm not an eggplant kind of guy with that. I know people like that, the eggplant.
I don't like eggplant at all.
The hero. I like it at times. It's kind of like that relative that you see like once a year, that's enough. You know what I mean? And after 3 days,
I don't understand how anybody could stare at eggplant and chicken, both made parm style, and go, give me the eggplant.
Yeah. If I had to have one meal the rest of my life every single day, it'd either be pizza or chicken parm.
Nah.
A little rigatone.
Never give me the eggplant. Jim in Levittown. Jim, what's up?
This is Jim. Guys, I'm pretty sure that a few months ago, Evan played that Giants hanging with the other Giants clip.
Jim, he played it absolutely within the last, I'd say, year or so. You're spot on with that.
I honestly think that it was like on the anniversary of it. I'm pretty sure, now maybe you guys know better than me, somebody called in after that claiming to be like a college friend of Dan, and said that a bunch of the guys from their frat or whatever would call Mike every now and then just to bust his chops.
I vaguely remember that. So you're thinking that was college life, Dan, and now he's growing up and he's less funny?
It's very possibly that.
I can read that.
And he wasn't. And the guy who called Evan that day was certainly way more entertaining than that guy that we called.
You heard it. Thank you, Jim. I was so disappointed. You say you never want to meet your heroes. Guy who plays Giants call is boring as hell.
So maybe to Jim's call there, because I do remember us playing the audio, and I sort of remember somebody calling in that was associated to Dan and Warwick, who made the Giants. Do they hang out with the Giants? Called the Francesa. It's possible that one of this guy's fraternity bros came up with the idea, because it's the idea that's funny. It's the concept and the question that's funny. And Dan was either up next or had the gumption to call, but it wasn't really his sort of baby. And that's why when you put him on the air now, you're like, oh boy, this guy's a stiff.
Think about where he was today too, Vermont. Let's just play the game. He didn't move to Vermont. He's on a trip to Vermont.
Well, what do you mean he didn't? Oh, like he's just vacationing, you mean?
All right. So let's just play the game. 10 years ago, he's in a fraternity in college with his bros, play some prank calls to Mike Francesa.
Right. So that would make him now like in his early 30s.
Okay. So 10 years later, you're on vacation in Vermont. You're not doing that without a significant other or a loved one.
Oh, no. You're going to say he's a wrestling fan?
No, actually, going to go the opposite. Okay. Whoever he's with in life, let's call it his wife, has sucked the fun out of him. Now he's antiquing in Vermont.
Wow.
And he's got to call in and go, let me pretend I wasn't funny 10 years ago. Yes, of course it was a prank call.
So
his soul has been sucked from him.
Right, maybe a couple kids, and they take the fun out of everything. I've been told that
Vermont.
By parents.
Ugh.
Boy. All right, so so now the new take on this is that Dan is beaten down by life.
Yeah.
Has a wife, we'll call it two kids, a dog. Why you would have a dog if you have kids, I have no idea.
And his big trip's Vermont.
And the big trip is a place that's really only known for maple syrup. I mean, what else are you doing?
He's going to get some antiques. He'll probably sit by a lake.
And this was more of a burden that this got dug up than it was
somebody
a joy.
Behind him going, do you have to call in now, Dan?
Yeah.
And that dog passed yesterday.
Oh,
what happened?
I'm saying, top of it.
Oh, dog passed. I find out his dog passed? Yeah. How do you have, now that I'm on it, I just never understood this. You're one of these people, Sean, that I just don't get this.
What?
If I had kids, and I don't, why on any, how does it make sense to add a dog to what is already a laundry list of problems?
Remember how I just said Dan had a soul suck from him and got done making decisions
all right,
in
so
life.
So you want to win the battle. You want to win the war, and so you don't want to fight that battle. I got you. Say no more. The wife wants it. All right, that's it. That's all you had
to
say.
Do you think I made the decision to get a second
dog?
Well,
you like dogs. Well, forget about second or third dogs.
I got
that's
my second
business.
Dog by going to Stu Leonard's for dips before the Super Bowl. Do you think I plan on coming home with a pot cake?
Because I understand like a cat because they're more like a roommate, but to add another essential child when you already have several children, I just don't get it.
Well, don't assume a dog is a problem. That's a...
I mean...
Paulie, I love dogs.
A dog isn't a problem.
Yes, it is. You have to walk.
Paulie,
they're dumb
they're
animals.
They're great. They're loyal.
Are they?
They're every single one
they're
of them
idiots.
Is a problem.
They think you leave
don't
forever.
Call the... As the dog guy at WFN, they're not call dogs idiots.
They're idiots. I like dogs. I think they are... man's best friend or woman's best friend. I think they're very loyal.
If dogs could be people, they'd be single in their 40s going to wrestling events.